From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. You are too kind. Thank you. Now, it is that time of year when we get together with our families and eat canned cranberry sauce and get drunk on endless bottles of two-buck chuck. And then we snipe and snap at our family members for long-ago slights that have been eating into our soul since childhood.
And that, Peter, is why I never invite you over.
Nonetheless, while we're all celebrating the holiday in whatever way we choose, we're going to do what we can to bring some happiness to your endless rehearsals of domestic grievances with some visits from our favorite guests recently.
We begin with the one man on earth who can claim to be cooler than I am. Actor, writer, and producer Henry Winkler, also known as Arthur Fonzarelli, from the classic sitcom Happy Days, also known as Fonzie.
Henry was as pleased to join us in September 2011, along with panelists Kerry O'Connor, Paula Poundstone, and Charlie Pierce, as we were to have him, or at least he was able to fake it.
I'm so happy to be here.
So thrilled to talk to you. So first of all, we were interested to see you have a new book out. It's about the least Fonzie-ish thing we can imagine, fly fishing in Montana.
That's right. It's called I Never Met an Idiot on the River.
Right. And what's interesting is that you had your wife of many years do the introduction. And
that was a mistake.
Yes, because she says, and I'll quote her, "Only in the serene beauty of fly fishing country does the crazed and competitive Henry Winkler appear." Is this true?
Well, the thing is that, you know, in a boat, you have, I'm in the front, and I have all the way to the guide and his oars. Yeah. My wife is in the back. She has all the way to the guide and his oars.
Right,
and
from the other end. Right.
Her water looks fishier than mine.
Right. So you're like, turn this thing around.
Well, no, I don't wait. I just start to fish her water.
And you do all this, and you do not keep the fish.
No, I always put the fish back. I won't even eat a trout in a restaurant.
Okay.
No.
And for someone like me, who does not fly fish,
yeah,
this seems astoundingly pointless. You go to all this effort.
You know what it is?
What?
It is, it's you, it's zen. It's like a washing machine for your brain, because you cannot concentrate on anything else except you and that fish, or you lose the fish.
Right. Do you think the fish wishes there was some other way you could find to relax? Now, your most famous role was Fonzie, the Fonz. Now, for people who were not lucky enough or old enough to have watched Happy Days, can you describe that character?
He was a mechanic.
Yeah.
He was a leather-jacketed, motorcycle-riding, loyal friend.
Yeah.
He was so tough that he intimidated you by just the look. He never actually raised his hand to anybody.
Yeah.
And I, as a very short Jew, that is the same experience.
I understand. Action stars talk about sometimes how people come up and challenge them to fights because they play tough men.
All right, here's the great thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, to this moment in time that we're talking, I have never been challenged. I have only been treated as a good friend.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been stopped on the street of New York City by gangs who said, "Oh, wait a minute, are you Henry Winkler? Give this man some room."
There you go. We got to ask you about this. We have to ask you, of course, about jumping the shark.
Yes.
Now, I actually don't remember the setup. This refers to an episode of Happy Days. Can you tell me what the setup was?
We went to Hollywood.
The characters did.
And I had to water ski, which I knew how to do, and my very short German parents would write me letters, and they would say, "Tell the producers you know how to water ski." I finally showed the producers the letter as a joke.
Because, wait a minute, your parents were, like, worried you were the star of the most successful sitcom on television, and they were like, "But maybe he can get a little more money if they know he can... Maybe he can make a success of himself if he can just water ski."
If I water ski, I will have it made in the shade.
Right. So then you show the producers the letter from your parents. "Hey, I can water ski," you point out to them.
Yes.
So they come up with a story in which Fonzie has to water ski over sharks?
Yes,
over a tank
I did.
Of sharks?
Well, I jumped over a shark. About that time, a guy named John Heim, who now has a radio show.
Yeah.
He was sitting in his dorm room with his good friend, and they came up with the expression, jump the shark.
Right, because they decided, and you know, that the moment when Happy Days started to go downhill was when Arthur Fonzarelli jumped the shark, and so jumping the shark became this universal phrase for the moment when something starts to go bad.
Yes.
How does it feel then to be the person who enacted the now the single most important cultural indicator of impending decline?
You know, I would like to say proud.
Yes.
But the fact is, I talked about this human being for 33 years, and I finally met him 3 months ago in New York City.
Really? And how did that meeting go? The guy who invented the phrase...
We had a wonderful time. It was really lovely to meet him.
I have to ask you a question, and we've only been talking for a little while, but I get the sense that you've never met anybody you weren't utterly delighted and happy to meet. Is that true? Is there
you know what? My glass is half full, but there are three or four people I really dislike.
Really? Can you name or describe any one of them?
Unfortunately, I can't. One's a movie star.
I understand.
You know, I met Henry, I think, on the shuttle at Dulles. You know how when you meet somebody and they're out of context and it takes your head a couple of ka-chings to figure out where you know them from. And what struck me about him was, I was like, well, look at that happy little fella.
You know, I'm doing the show from standing under my desk right now.
There you go. Well, Henry Winkler, we are absolutely delighted to talk to you, and we have, in fact, invited you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
Hey, you took all my money.
Wow, come on. Was that Castle?
That was. Uncanny, isn't it? Well, a Fonzie scheme would involve helping others through coolness and jumping sharks. A Ponzi scheme is something else entirely, as you may have heard about in the GOP debate this week. We're going to ask you three questions about Ponzi schemes. If you get two right, you'll win our prize from one of our listeners, Carl's voice, in their home answering machine. Carl, who is Henry Winkler playing for?
Oh, well, the Fonz is playing for Michelle Treastman of Arlington, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah. You ready to do this?
I'm so ready, and I'm hoping.
All right. We'll start with Charles Ponzi,
the
original Ponzi schemester.
Right.
In 1920, he promised his investors a 50% return in just a few weeks, but some people were suspicious. So to prove he was in the up and up, he agreed to do what? A, appear with a mind reader who could discern his true intentions. B, buy everyone in Boston where he lived a lobster. Or C, bring each investor to his mother's grave so that he could swear on it.
Wow. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with what?
Oh, the first one.
No, I mean, say that again.
Oh, I have to go. I'm going to go with A.
A, all right. That's right, in fact. Ponzi agreed to appear with a mind reader at a Kiwanis club, but nothing came of it because audience members were far more interested in investing with him. He was in jail less than a week later. Next question. The Greater Ministries International Church of Florida ran a Ponzi scheme on its own congregants in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Their get-rich-quick scheme was based on what? A, learning the trick of multiplying loaves and fishes from God. B, searching for lost Spanish treasure ships in Lake Okeechobee. Or C, investment-grade collectible Happy Meal toys.
I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C, investment-grade collectible Happy Meal toys. I'm afraid it was A, or A. The minister in charge of the scheme said God had modernized the loaves and fishes trick and taught him to apply it to the precious metals market. He made off with $500 million.
Wow.
All right, you have
one
more chance. If you get this one right, you win. And now, we'll turn to the greatest Ponzi schemer of all, Bernie Madoff.
Oh, yes.
He is now being held at a prison camp in Butner, North Carolina.
He's
serving, I think, a 150-year sentence.
Yes, not long enough.
Not long enough. The prison camp is actually pretty tough, but it does provide what for the use of its inmates? A, an Indian sweat lodge. B, a climbing wall, or C, a Bloomberg terminal for financial news?
Wow.
Yes. My advice here would be to trust your instincts.
Okay. Well, you know what?
If your instincts don't work, trust Fonzie's.
A sweat lodge.
Yes. A, an Indian sweat lodge. B, a climbing wall. Or C, a Bloomberg terminal for financial news.
Okay, now, oh my goodness. Okay, I'm going to go with A.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I'm going to go with A.
Yeah, yes, you're right. It is A, an Indian sweat lodge. Carl, how did Henry Winkler do?
Hey, the Fonz had two correct answers, Peter. So he wins for Michelle Treistman.
Well done, sir. Well done. Henry Winkler's new book is called I've Never Met an Idiot on the River, Reminiscences and Photos of Fly Fishing. Henry Winkler, thank you so much for being with us. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Henry.
Bye, everybody.